Amen. Amen. Aren't you guys glad that God has authority? You guys can have a seat. That song reminded me when I used to work at Lowe's as a forklift driver. I had a boss that was kind of over me. He wasn't very good. And so people really didn't really listen to him. But then we had like the head boss, the head manager. And whenever he would walk into the room, he would just say, "Hey, we're doing this," and suddenly everybody just did it. That authority was powerful. And when I think, when we sing this song, God has such authority that things change, that God changes circumstances that seem overwhelming to us, impossible to us. That's who our God is. He changes things. He makes impossible become possible. And I'm so glad that we sing that song because it really leads right into this topic that we're going to really explore today of the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week we looked at the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you actually thought about that and actually said, "I want to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to know the Holy Spirit." Now I want to explore this idea of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to set you guys up. I'm not going to tell you any Tim stories today. I know. I'm not going to tell you of other people's experiences today. All we're going to do is God's word today. Okay. Yes, you should be excited about that. Because I think the danger that happens is sometimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, people start using circumstances and experiences for their theology. And that's dangerous because God's word is the power of the Holy Spirit. It all starts with God's word. And so if you have any issues with today's message, you have issues with God's word today. Because it's all straight from Scripture. Is that okay with you guys?
Yes.
Okay. First thing I want to start off with is 2 Timothy 1:7. I'm going to do a lot of verses today. We're just going to be hitting verses hard today. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind." You're not supposed to have fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We need power. Power is powerful. We need it. Power for our mental state. Power to handle our emotional state, our emotions. Power to handle our spiritual emptiness. Power to handle relationships. We need power for our everyday life. We need that strength that only comes from God. And so I have an illustration just to kind of start us off with. So this is my drill. This thing, my baby, okay, it has been with me through the thick and thin, has built two homes. It's just been amazing, okay? And this drill is you. Sorry, you're not DeWalt, okay? You're rigid, okay? But this drill is you. Imagine using this drill to build something right now. Would it work very well? You could kind of make some things work, but it'd be very frustrating. This represents the Holy Spirit, fully charged. Put it together. Oh, that's just beautiful. Now, what happens to the projects? It works. See, often we're trying to live our life like this. But God has given us the Holy Spirit, and you're going to see today, scripturally, full of power. But I think the question is, how does that actually happen? We know it. We know the Holy Spirit's power. But how do we actually experience the power of the Holy Spirit? And so we're going to really explore that today of what it actually says. But before I do, I have one joke. So before I get to scripture, I have one joke for you guys because I thought we all just need a laugh today. So there was this mama, single mama. She had to take care of three rowdy boys, those just wild boys. And so she worked a double job, provided for them, worked her whole life. And so when the boys grew up, they said, "Hey, let's take care of mama. She worked hard for us. Let's give mama a gift." And so the first son, he says, "Listen, I'm going to buy mama a huge mansion, just this beautiful big mansion." The second son says, "Well, I'll do better than that. I'm going to buy mama a brand new Cadillac, and I'm even going to buy her a chauffeur that will drive mama around." Well, a third son said, "Well, you guys don't really know mama. Mama loves the Bible, and so I'm going to get mama a parrot because mom's kind of starting to lose her eyesight, and this parrot can recite scripture to mama. And so he trained the parrot for 12 months to be able to recite scripture to mama. Mama gets all these gifts. Mama comes back, calls all three sons up, says, "My first boy, I hate your gift. It's so big. I only use one room. I don't like it. There's too much to clean. I just don't like that gift." Second son, "I don't like that gift either. That Cadillac, I don't need a fancy car. I don't need this chauffeur. He's kind of weird and creepy. I don't like being alone with him. Like, this is just not my gift." But my third son, "I love your gift. That little chicken was so delicious." Yeah. Not understanding the purpose of the gift. And so when we think of the purpose of the power, we need to first understand why did God give us this power? What's the purpose of it? Because if you don't understand the purpose, we're going to end up eating a parrot. We're going to end up doing things that are just not biblical. So you have to understand the purpose of the gift. So in order to understand the gift of the Holy Spirit, you need to grab a Bible and turn to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse number 8. We're just going to look at this one verse, really springboard from this. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. This is when Jesus is ascending into heaven. He's leaving the earth, but he tells them this promise in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. It says this, "But you will receive power," this is Jesus' words to his disciples, "you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power. That word is dunamis. I explained last week that actually means TNT, dynamite. That is an explosion when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, to understand this passage fully biblically, actually, in the book of John, they already received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It actually says that after Jesus rose from the grave, that he breathed on his disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. And so this is now the power aspect of the Holy Spirit. He says you're going to receive power when you wait on the Holy Spirit. And we find out from Acts chapter 2 that they actually were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire came on their heads, and they shared the gospel to many. But why? Well, let's look at Jesus for a second. When Jesus came onto the earth, he came preaching the kingdom of God. That's very important. The kingdom of God. So you and I live in a democracy right now, so we don't really understand kingdom. But kingdom is simply there's a king who governs and rules everything. And in a kingdom, what they do is they expand their kingdom by occupying territory. So let's just say Minnesota is a kingdom, okay? That's the kingdom. And we want to take Iowa and make it a territory of the kingdom. Well, that's how kingdoms operate. That's how Britain worked. That's how Rome worked, as they expanded. And so when Jesus is talking about the kingdom, he's talking about expanding territories. Expanding the territories. Interesting thing about a kingdom is that the king doesn't go visit those territories. The king actually stays where the kingdom was held. But the king would send a governor from his kingdom to go to that new territory and govern over it. They would build a mansion for the governor, and he would govern the territory so that they would begin to look and act like the kingdom. So when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, it's about expansion and territory and taking over the kingdom. That's why Jesus literally says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go to these groups. Continue, expand outside of this. So when he leaves the earth, where is he going? Heaven, yes. Okay, we got one. There we go. Heaven. But he sends us the Holy Spirit, who is, if you think of it this way, the governor, who governs over who? Us. As a believer, he's governing over us. He comes and he helps us understand the kingdom, be more like the king. But very interesting fact about how kingdoms operated is when they went to kingdoms and territories, the governor would make sure that they wouldn't know their former history. The governor would make sure that they only knew the kingdom's history. Because if you know your history, it changes your future. So the governor would actually make sure that the colonies wouldn't know their history so that they'd only introduce the kingdom to them. So when you read, when you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just circle how many times Jesus says the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, when Jesus leaves and says, I'm going to give you power that's sent from God to govern you, your heart, and then to also expand the territory, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's an in and out approach. And that's why in John 14, he actually says this, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you, just like a governor would. I've come to teach you all things and remind you of everything. And see, so what we often do is think that God is put into a box, put into a place, put into a building. But now that the Holy Spirit's here, Acts 7 tells us that God doesn't live in buildings made by man, but 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God, you are not your own. So you've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, who now comes into your life and teaches you about God's kingdom. He reminds you of God's kingdom. He helps you forget your past and move towards your future. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit, that power of the Holy Spirit coming on us. He's what turns impossible to possible in our life and in the world around us, moving from impossible to possible. Now, when you look at that word impossible to possible, what's the only difference? I'm okay. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm always going to be this way. I'm always going to think like this. What stops us from going to what God has for us is I'm. And when the Holy Spirit comes, what he does is he comes and he removes that I'm in our life. The things that control us, and we have this cross up here that represents all these weights, all these stones, all these I'ms in our life. And the Holy Spirit comes and he gives us the power to not have to carry these weights anymore. He gives us that power. So many of us have always been saying, I'm going to always have fear. I'm not good enough. I'm never going to see a miracle of God. I'm. But God isn't designed that way. I want to show you a verse that will truly blow you away. Romans 8:11 says this, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. I'm sorry, Tim. Could you say that again? The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just a mind-blowing? That God's Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Ephesians 1:20 says this, which he worked, it's talking about the Spirit of God, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. That Spirit that defeated the grave lives inside of Tim Paul Agrimson. Lives inside of you as a believer. Now, that's amazing power. Are you experiencing the fullness of that power? I think most of us would probably say no. No, I don't think so. I mean, no. And it's a question of how do we connect these two together, because that's the Spirit of God. He lives inside of you. The same Spirit that conquered the grave lives in you. And what I love about this is when the governor came to a territory, he would remove the I'm and he'd start talking about the king. And what the Holy Spirit does in us is he removes the I'm and he replaces it with a I am. God is the I am. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha, the Omega. I am that I am. That's who our God is. And he comes now and lives inside of you. And I want to push against something really quick. Can God do anything?
Yes.
Is anything impossible for God?
No.
That's who our God is. But that's who lives inside of you. That's who lives inside of you. Now, how do we see that power shown? This is where we have to get biblical, okay? This isn't like magic trick show, like let's make these cars float out there. How is this shown? How is the Holy Spirit's power shown throughout the Bible, throughout Scripture? And so I'm going to give you two simple kind of illustrations to help that. The first one is the Holy Spirit's power is shown through building up. Building up. He builds up. Now, I'm going to go real for a second here. For you that are newer to the Christian faith, this might sound just kind of foreign and weird, because you're like, why are you even talking about this? But for us that have been maybe saved a long time and have been in church circles, you'll understand completely what I'm about to say. The Holy Spirit oftentimes has brought more division than unity. I know, so for the new believers, like, wait, what? But oftentimes the expression of the Holy Spirit has brought more debate and division. People arguing, this is what the Holy Spirit does, this is what it does, this is not how the Holy Spirit operates. And it's actually brought more division, but the Holy Spirit, one of the main powers that he does is that he unifies and builds up the church. He unifies and builds up the church. If you really want to see the power of the Holy Spirit scripturally, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, those passages really get into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, 12, 13, and 14. But he writes this to a church in Corinth. Now, to understand Corinth, Corinth was the first reality TV church. Okay, they were messed up. Okay, let me just give you a couple examples of what they were doing. The church in Corinth that Paul is writing to, he tells them this, that there was a man that was sleeping with his father's wife at church. That's messy. The other one was that there was they were suing each other, like suing, like taking them to court in the church. They were infighting. They were inviting false prophets and teachers to come and preach from their stage. That's the church of Corinth for you. So Paul writes the letter to say, hey, church, you guys are going a little bit crazy right now. This isn't how it's done. And so when you read 1 Corinthians, it's seriously a letter to say, here's the foundation of how spiritual gifts, how this should operate. And so I want to read you something at the very beginning of Paul's letter. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says this. So this is what Paul says at the beginning of his letter. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God. I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and trembling. So Paul's saying, like, I didn't come acting like I had it all together. I came very weak, trembling. Verse 4 says, my message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. So that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So when Paul planted this church, he said, I didn't want to come and give you a lot of head knowledge. I wanted you to know that this was done by the Spirit's power. And so when you read the rest of Corinthians, it's Paul trying to remind the church, this is how the power of God is done. This is how the power of God is experienced in the church. And that's where he gets into the gifts of the Spirit. As a believer, you have certain gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you. There's certain gifts that he's empowered you with. And for the sake of time today, I don't have time to dive into those, but read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. It shows you certain gifts of empowerment that you have for the reason of edifying and building up the church. That the Holy Spirit gives us power to unify, to build together. Now, isn't it fascinating that there's so much division and not unity? It makes me think that we're not coming together with our mind. We're coming together with our minds, not the Spirit's power. Because the power of God actually unifies the church together, not divides us. Builds each other up. Let me say it simply. To experience the power of God, you need to be in community with each other. In order to experience what the power of God can look like, it's done in community. It's not done in isolation. You see God working when you're in community. So, I was going to use an illustration, but I'm not going to. I caught myself. Let me just say one thing. I'm in a great small group, and it's fantastic. And when we're together, I understand this passage way more. When we're doing life together, when we're experiencing life together, because when you are separated from the body of Christ, you can't experience the fullness of what the Holy Spirit has intended for you. The power of the Holy Spirit. That's why here at New Life Church, we're trying to help people say, hey, know your gift. Get in community. Get together. Because when you're together, there's something powerful about that. That's why we have that Discover class to help people discover, hey, here's what your spiritual gifts are, to know those gifts and to operate in those gifts. If it's gifts of mercy, gifts of help, teaching, whatever that looks like, but the Holy Spirit's empowered you to do that. So we're going to take a little halftime right here. You guys didn't expect this, but we're going to do a little halftime right now. Because I am so excited about this aspect of unity together, because the Holy Spirit is shown through power, that we're going to do partner recognition right now. You didn't expect that, did you? But there's been several people that have said, hey, we want to be partners here at New Life, and they've gone through Discover class, and they said, hey, we're in this to win this. We're going to do this together. Can I invite those people to the front at this time? Those that are choosing to become partners to come to the front right now here at New Life. Come on up, you good-looking people. So this group right here, as they make their way to the front, these are people that have chosen to say, hey, we're not going to do this alone. We're not going to isolate ourselves, that we need each other. And I'm telling you, this group right here, the more that we're with each other, the more we'll see the Holy Spirit's power at work. And so we're giving each of them this cute little devotional, or not devotional, this cute little journal right here. And this journal is what I want each of them to fill out as they experience what God's intending for them to do. God moments to be put inside of here as they go on this journey. Because we believe that God has a special plan and a purpose together. To see God working together. And this group is saying, hey, we're going to do this together. Can you guys at New Life give them a round of applause for saying that? Now, before we do, I think some of you are surprised at what I'm talking about, because you're like, wait a minute, Tim, where's like the dynamite? The dynamite is right here. This is what's rare in our world. This is what's foreign in our world. Have you guys watched the news lately? There's division, there's strifing, but the unity of the body of Christ is so powerful. Coming together under one banner, Jesus. That's power. Okay, I'm. Because if you don't understand this, you won't understand the next part. Because you guys are all waiting for, where's the fireworks, Tim? This is. Because how many of us need power for our loneliness? How many of us need power for our mind that's always telling us negative thoughts? How many of us are feeling empty inside spiritually? Right here was God's answer. It's the church. That is powerful. So would you guys extend your hand and let's bless this wonderful group that's partnering along with New Life Church. So, Father, right now I just thank you so much for this wonderful group that is choosing to come alongside. Lord, would you bless them? Would you bless them as they choose to partner here at New Life Church? God, let this be a time of power, of each other, knowing each other, experiencing life together, Lord. Be with this group. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You guys come and see. Thank you again. Appreciate it. There's power. Seeing God, the early church, if you study this, the early church, in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, when they came together, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the Bible says that they were in unity. They had all things in common. When the church comes together, there's power in that. So my plea, from a biblical standpoint, because you can't experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, apart from the body. You cannot experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit apart from the body. You have to be connected to each other. Okay, let's get to some fireworks now, okay? So the second part is builds out. The Holy Spirit builds out. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. Now, but did you notice something? The power is connected to something. What's it connected to? Being witnesses. Your power that you will receive happens when you become a witness. And so that you can go to the ends of the earth proclaiming the news, being a witness of Christ. Now, what a witness is somebody who will testify at court. At court, they'll stand up and say, I testify that Tim Agramson has the most amazing beard you've ever seen. I mean, that's a testimony right there. Come on, give me an amen, somebody, okay? This takes years, okay? But that's a testimony. I testify of the truth. And so when this is written, what he's telling this group, it says, you're going to receive power when you are out in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, when you're testifying about the truth. That's when you will receive power. And so the early church throughout Acts, what you see is that when they stepped out, they received power. I'll give you an example. So when Peter and John are going up to the temple, they're going to the church to pray. They're doing church service. And there's a man that's lame. And they come up and say, hey, what's going on? The guy says, hey, can you give me some money? Peter and John said, silver and gold, we got no. We don't even got a credit card on us. We got nothing. But what we do have in the power of Jesus, he grabs him by the hand and says, rise up and walk, and God heals that lame man. Now, let me ask a question. Does that same power exist today? It does. Let's try that again. Because I think we need to understand this. To walk up to somebody that's lame and broken, I don't think that the Holy Spirit has stopped 2,000 years ago. But the power to grab that man and say, rise up and walk, does that still exist today? That's who our God, the same power that conquered the grave lives in you. But it was done as they were testifying of the truth. Testifying of what God can do. Stepping out and saying that. Here's the question. How many of us would have the courage to walk up to somebody and do the exact same thing? They'd be like, here's a 20, you know. God bless you. I'll pray for you. But to step out is where you see the power. And throughout the book of Acts, that is exactly what happens, is when they stepped out, they saw the power. They saw God work, being bold for the Lord. I think of the thing that came to my mind was emojis. Don't ask me why. But do you guys remember the first text message way of sending a smiley face? Is that on there? Yes. Do you guys remember this one? I still use this once in a while. It's a classic. Okay. I used to hate this, being a receiver of the smiley face, because I never knew what the person was really saying. Were they happy with me? Were they sarcastic with the smiley face? Like, what are you, how many of you guys like stayed up at night like, what is this smiley face really saying to me right now? Like, what are you trying to convey through this text message? But thank the Lord for emojis, who came along and helped us express ourselves through every form, letting the world know who we are. This is who we are. I mean, we got these emojis now. We got these things just to, now we have the GIFs and the memes, all this stuff to express ourselves. The power of the Holy Spirit is seriously the emojis. You are left with that smiley face. You can't reach people where they're at. But when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you can express it and reach people. You can help them understand the gospel. You can help them understand who Jesus is. I'm feeling something right now in my spirit. Listen, I think what happens is that so many of us have stopped witnessing Jesus. We stopped testifying about Jesus. We stopped telling people about Jesus. And as we start telling people about Jesus, I believe you'll see the power of the Holy Spirit biblically. We've got to step out. Got to step out. That can look like in your home. That can look like in your school. That can look like in your workplace. But are you testifying of the truth? Are you being witnesses? Because when you step out and see God work, that's who our God is. The same power that conquered the grave lives in you. God's used it to build you up. The body, the Holy Spirit, and gives you gifts to build each other up. But then he also gives you the power to build out, to expand the territory for him, to go beyond these walls, to really experience the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to be in community, and you need to step out. Biblically, I never see examples of somebody just sitting there and suddenly, boop, got it all. It's when we activate that faith, when we use what God's given us, when we step outside, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit? How to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Isaiah 40, verse 31 says this, "But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Another word that can be used is those who wait on the Lord. But you just said, Tim, you just said don't step out. Now you're telling me, or you said not to wait. Now I'm supposed to wait. Well, here's my example for you. This battery does run out eventually. It does. It loses its charge. And it gets drained eventually. And so when I drain it, I take it to my amazing charger here, and I put it on the charger, and it charges up again. It needs to charge up again. Then I take it off, put it on the screwdriver, and keep on going. Some of you, as I'm just looking out at my wonderful church family that I love so much, some of you have this look of like, there is no way, Tim. There's no way. I don't believe it. I can't see it. It's too much. It's not for me. And my encouragement for you today is you need to be charged by the Holy Spirit. And let me give you an example of how simple that looks. Some of you are not in a small group or not connected. Can I be honest? There's times, guys, where I tell my wife, I don't want to go to small group tonight. I want to stay home. I want to sit in my PJs and watch TV. And we get in the car and we go. And every time we come back and say, that was amazing. When we think of being charged up, it doesn't have to be on a mountaintop. It has to be 5 minutes before you walk into your small group. Holy Spirit, move during this time. When you go into your school, before you walk in, just stop. Holy Spirit, I don't have the power to share you today. When you walk into your home and everybody's nuts, Holy Spirit, fill me up right now so I can go and testify of how good you are to my family. Going to your workplace, you know what? It's terrifying to share Jesus with your coworkers. But just say, before you go to work, sit in your car and say, Holy Spirit, give me the strength to represent Jesus. Help me be a witness today. Sneak away. Get that charge in. Every morning, that's why we talk about reading your Bible, 3 chapters a day, 5-4 on Sunday, is to get in God's Word and charge up so that you can go out and be a witness for Him. To witness Him. Jesus' last command was go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. You can't go on your own, though. You don't have the strength, the power, you don't have the grit to do it. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need it. We need to be filled up by the Holy Spirit in order to do the smallest and the biggest things. If I can just preach to 5 people today, I'd be satisfied. If we just take this and say, God, take this little bit, fill me up today so I can go out and be used by you. If it's in my small group and using my gifts inside of my church, or if it's stepping outside and being a witness for you, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Spirit. Can't do this without Him. You'll never see dynamite. We'll never see things explode the way that we hope in our hearts and faith without the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have to be charged up. Jesus often withdrew from the crowd, often withdrew from His disciples to be alone with the Father. Acts 1, Jesus tells them to wait on the Holy Spirit. Acts 4, they gathered together and they waited on the Holy Spirit. Jesus, before He started His ministry, went out to the wilderness for 40 days. They all had these moments of just stopping and saying, Holy Spirit, fill me up. My prayer is simply this. When you look at Scripture, you see God move. And I want to see God move. In my life, in our lives. But it doesn't happen apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. He builds us up in community, and He builds out through His power as we're witnesses of Him. We have to be charged by Him, and the Lord wants to do that for generations to generations to generations, to continue His kingdom throughout. And so as we close our time, we're going to sing a song called The Blessing, because I think for a lot of us, what I just shared right now is like, it's hard to understand. But until we do it, until we experience it, it's life-changing. Take that seed of faith and step out. But you need to have the blessing of God, the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit on you for generations to generations. No matter, as I said at the beginning, if you need power for your mind, power for your heart, power for your spirit, whatever you need strength for, I believe the Holy Spirit's here, and He wants to give that to you today. So would you guys mind just standing? And we're going to sing the blessing over you today as we close out our time. We're going to sing this blessing over you. And my prayer is that you would receive the gift. Receive the gift of His presence, His grace, His love today. So let me pray for you, and then we're going to sing the blessing. Father, I just thank you so much for your promises. I just pray in these next few minutes, God, that you would just be here. That your Holy Spirit would just move through our hearts, move through our lives. Activate us today, Lord. Help us know what our gifts are. Help us function in that power. Help us be witnesses of you, God. Take over these next few minutes. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.